Good morning to everyone. The scripture portions in the hymns that Dave picked couldn't be more appropriate to the message this morning. We are going to look at Peter in jail in Acts chapter 12. The hymn that we sang earlier, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We have come to the last of the series on the study of Peter, and I trust that he has been of encouragement to us, because we can identify with some of the characters that Peter displayed as a disciple, as an apostle of Jesus. Since witnessing the ascension of the risen Christ and the advent of the Holy Spirit as promised by Jesus, Peter was preaching boldly in Jerusalem and in the temple. The disciples were arrested and threatened not to preach Jesus. Peter was in the center of all activity and provided leadership to preach and to heal the sick. The Holy Spirit enabled them to perform signs and wonders, and multitudes of believers were added to the infant church at Jerusalem. Samaria, Judea, and Galilee, and other places, both Jews and Gentiles, were added to the church. What an exciting time in human history. Things began to change. At this point, they began to persecute Christians, and Stephen was stoned to death at the instigation of the Sanhedrin, and there was persecution of the church in Jerusalem. But no serious persecution was experienced by the church at Jerusalem. But no serious persecution was experienced by the apostles yet. Jewish leaders could not tolerate the fact that crucifying Jesus did not stop the movement. Not only that, but his disciples were able to carry on the spreading of the movement as hundreds of thousands of followers joined them. The Jewish leaders were willing to wait a while as they listened to Gamaliel, as we see in the book of Acts. The Pharisee addressing the council, saying that this movement will die down like any other movement before this one. But it was not happening. Herod was more than willing to do whatever he can to appease Jews. Here was the opportunity to help the Jews with his authority over this jurisdiction, and he began harassing Christians. This King Herod was Herod Agrippa I, son of Aristobulus, grandson of Herod the Great. and his sister Herodias, wife of Herod Antipas, who was responsible for the death of John the Baptist. He related well with the Jews, Jewish people, since he had a Jewish grandmother. Persecution of Christians by Herod around AD 44, that's 14 years since the establishment of the church in AD 30. The Apostle James was killed by Herod. When we come to chapter 12 in Acts, we see Herod starting to persecute the church to please the Jews. The Jews were willing to collude with Herod Agrippa I. In the New Testament, we can find four generations of Herod family rulers who were known for causing violence and murder. The church was never threatened, never a threat to Herod nor to Rome. Now, let's read verses 1 through 4. Of chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of the unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Killing of James was followed by the arrest and imprisonment of Peter. Herod's gesture with his new policy of Christian persecution was appreciated by the Jews. Peter was arrested and kept in prison during the days of unleavened bread, as we read, following the Passover for his execution right after the feast was over. Family of Herod were not particularly friends of the Jewish people. They were the regional representatives of the Roman Empire who ruled with an iron fist, and Jewish people were heavily taxed. Now, beheading of James changed that somewhat. It was the talk of the town and in and around the temple. Herod Agrippa I's approval rating started going up. He became popular with the Jews. It has all the more persuaded him to get hold of Peter, who openly challenged the Jewish religious leaders who were the main instigators of the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, Peter was arrested during the days following the Passover. Herod Agrippa planned to keep Peter under maximum security so he would not escape and then execute him immediately after the 7 days of unleavened bread. The word of his execution would then spread from Jerusalem. The word of his execution then spread from Jerusalem to all surrounding villages and towns, since multitudes of Jews come to the temple in Jerusalem during these festivals. If Peter, the most outspoken leader of the church, is eliminated, this movement would die down, and a great uprising could be avoided. He could make Rome and the Jewish leaders happy at the same time. Now, scheming by Herod was that he would execute Peter as soon as the feast was over. Now, Peter was probably kept in a prison like this one depicted here. And the story of Peter being in the jail and him being rescued, even from the Sunday school classes, we remember that story. And you can see in this picture that Peter is chained to two soldiers, one on the left and one on the right. Now, Peter was put in prison twice before by the temple priests or the temple police under the command of the high priest. Once along with John, and they were set free the next day, as we see in Acts chapter 4. And they prayed together with other disciples in one accord for boldness to continue to preach. Another time in Acts chapter 5 at the Solomon's porch in the temple, where the disciples often gathered, many people were being healed and the demons were being cast out by the power of God, made manifest through the apostles. But the apostles were manhandled and put in a regular prison. Now at night, an angel of God came and opened the prison doors and brought them out and asked them to go and preach in the temple. Now when the officers came in the morning to take them before the Sanhedrin, they could not find them. They went and reported that the guards were keeping watch and the doors were secure, but the prisoners were not found inside. Then someone saw them preaching in the temple and went and told the council, who were wondering what happened to the prisoners. They were apprehended and brought before the council. This is when Gamaliel, one of the Pharisees, argued on their behalf and advised the council that if this movement is from God, it is not worth fighting against God. This time Peter was in Herod's prison, like a federal prison with maximum security. And this is the third time he was imprisoned. He was chained to two soldiers, one on each side, in the prison cell, and two other soldiers or guards were at the two iron gates outside keeping watch. So there were 16 soldiers put in charge for each shift of 6 hours each for day to cover the day and night. Now let's read verses 7 through 11. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, and he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Now Herod's plan was to bring Peter out and execute him publicly when there was maximum crowd in the city, to send a message to all in and around Jerusalem. Now, the axis of evil with Jewish leaders and Herod was effectively working against the young church. beheading of James was probably weighing heavily on Peter's mind for the past few days. But Peter had faith in his Lord. Once before, he was rescued from a prison by an angel. Now, even if Herod was to kill him, he had hope of a resurrected life. He belongs to a risen Savior. When God sends his angel into a dark world, the angel brings light to wake us up and show the path forward. Now, when Charles Wesley was writing this hymn, he wrote, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free, and the heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." That's Peter's experience. Peter was woken up, and he was following the instructions from the angel. Peter was never hesitant to obey these step-by-step instructions that the angel gave him. He was probably in a trance and did not fully realize what was happening. He knew his chains fell off so he could get dressed. Peter did not really know what was happening until he came to the street and the angel disappeared. Then he knew it was the angel that rescued him. Do you feel like you are in a prison designed by this world? Do you feel like your feet are shackled to the things of people, or things or people of this world? When God sends his angel to your rescue, are you obedient to the instructions step by step for a successful rescue? Are we willing to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit? God may send you an elder or a fellow believer to lead you into the right path. We all feel sometimes helpless and powerless against our enemy who keeps us oppressed. Let someone know who can pray for you. If he has delivered us in the past, he can deliver us right now, and he can deliver us in the future. We should not lose our hope. And that's what we have been singing about the hope. Our path is to move forward without getting entangled in sin or the lust of the flesh. Peter learned a lesson or two being a disciple of Jesus. Deep in his heart, Peter knew he had a few more years to live and to minister, as Jesus had told him in John 21, verses 18 and 19. After he pledged his love three times in response to the question Jesus asked him repeatedly three times, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter probably had Psalm 34, verses 15 and 16 in his mind when he wrote in his epistle. In 1 Peter 3:12, "And when he remembered his rescue from Herod's prison." Peter stood knocking at the gate of Mary's house. Prayer was continuing the night Peter was delivered from the jail. Answer to their prayer was at the door, and they were hesitant to believe. Amazed at God's miraculous way of deliverance, there was excitement in the house, renewed confidence in the Lord, mixed with concern for the future. Let's read verses 12 through 17. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to Peter, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, "Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Continuous prayers were being made for approximately 7 days since the arrest of Peter for his deliverance and for the protection of other disciples and followers of Christ. There was great fear that Herod could be after many of them, and they would be in danger of losing their lives or face long imprisonments. Peter knew his way around Jerusalem and certainly knew how to get to Mary's house, even in the darkness of the night after his rescue from the prison. He had been there many times with Jesus and his fellow disciples. It's been 14 years since the Passover that Jesus had with his beloved disciples at the Last Supper. And it is believed to be the same house where they met. In these 14 years, I'm sure Peter had gone there many times. Peter probably ran for his life in case he was being pursued. He knew there would be their dear brothers and sisters praying for him. He wanted to personally declare to them their prayers were answered and how miraculous his deliverance was. None of the guards woke up, even the two whose bodies he was chained to. When Peter was conscious enough to understand what had happened to him, according to verse 11, it gave springs to his feet. The servant girl, Rhoda, heard someone knocking at the gate. She suddenly wanted to make sure it is not any of Herod's soldiers or a stranger or a thief. She went to find out and immediately recognized Peter's voice. She was overwhelmed with joy and that she wanted to break the news to everyone before she let Peter in. She had faith. You have to commend her faith. She was able to recognize his voice, and she was sure it was Peter, and she ran inside. And so she was overwhelmed with joy that she wanted to break the news to everyone before she let Peter in. A few minutes went by since no one believed her. They responded by saying she was crazy. If you are hearing voices, it could be Peter's guardian angel. Herod may have finished him off, there was no way it could be Peter who could have escaped from jail, because he was under maximum security. They did not consider the fact that Peter was rescued from jail by an angel once before. And Peter continued to knock, and finally they all decided to come to the door together, probably to run and escape if they were in any danger. They were amazed to see Peter and began to greet him all together and express their excitement. There was some commotion in the process. But Peter motioned to them to be quiet. They went in, and Peter shared how God sent the angel to rescue him. He did not stay there too long, being afraid about himself and about being endangering those in the house. He went to another place. We are not told where. Peter knew Herod would be searching for him. I would imagine they continued in prayer after Peter left, giving thanks for answering their prayers and for continued protection so the gospel could spread further. Well, this was not the end of the story in chapter 12. God deals with Herod. Now, the guards woke up to find the prisoner escaped. Herod interrogated and executed all four guards. Herod departed for his home in Caesarea after this incident. Delegation from Tyre and Sidon coming to Herod. And Herod came out to honor Claudius Caesar, give a great speech, and accepted great praises from people. God struck him, was eaten by worms, and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. As soon as the morning broke, the guards were looking at each other and said, "What happened here? Where is the prisoner? We did not even hear one little click of a noise. The guards probably still had the chains attached to their feet. How did he get out of the jail cell and make it past the other two guards?" God who did not have to administer anesthesia to Adam to take a rib out of his side and put the flesh back in and close the incision without any miracle glue or anything like that to create Eve. God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. So it is not impossible for God to have caused a deep sleep to these four guards. But the guards knew they were doomed, for they would not be able to sensibly explain what happened to Herod. They had to face the wrath of Herod, and the question was what the punishment would be. Imprisonment for a few years, or a lifetime, or even death. Peter was a high-value target for Herod, as well as the Jewish religious leaders. Herod had one of the most outspoken leaders of the church in custody to be executed for maximum publicity right after the Jewish festival in Jerusalem. He could not tolerate this missed opportunity to crush the Christian movement and to prove to the Jews that he is on their side. A frustrated Herod ordered all four guards executed. He took the lives of four instead of one. Herod would have multiple residences in their assigned territories, and Caesarea was the headquarters for King Herod Agrippa I. Herod's family could be prone to especially the Herod family rulers could be prone to swift anger, an evil mind, and ruthless behavior. And combination of these would be fatal. For whatever reason, Herod was mad at the people of Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon was a port city, and in Book of Ezra, we read that the Jews gave money to the masons and the carpenters and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa, according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, the king of Persia. You know, they had a relationship with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they helped in the rebuilding during Ezra's time. If Herod for whatever reason, Herod was mad at the people of Tyre and Sidon, two main cities with ports in the old Phoenician kingdom in modern-day Lebanon. But they were dependent on Herod for food. Now, if Herod blocked the food supply, people of Tyre and Sidon would be starving. So it was crucial for them to patch up whatever dispute there was. They sent a delegation to Caesarea to meet with Herod. They were able to reach Herod's butler, Blastus, and befriended him. You know, butlers have great influences over kings and or rulers from other parts of the Bible. He gave them an idea to go to a public appearance of Herod, where he will be giving a speech to honor Emperor Claudius and to sing his praises and make an impression on him. They really did and flattered him by shouting as the king, after Herod finished his speech, "The voice of a god and not a man, not of a man." And Herod was really inflated with ego, and he probably foolishly felt he might be God and did not know it. He was gloating with pompous pride and glory, and he stole the glory that belonged to God alone. God immediately struck him and came down with some stomach infection and died 5 days later, according to historians. Now, words of the gospel kept spreading, and the church was growing in numbers. No Herods or emperors could stop it, though they tried. Opposition to the gospel and the word of God keeps growing, yet the gospel is reaching out to more people than ever before through television or social media or one-on-one evangelism. God is always involved in people's lives. God sees what his people are going through. God answers prayers of his people. God leads us to ultimate victory. God deals with the enemy. God will have the last word, and his rule shall be forever. These are some of the facts that we can take consolation in. Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." The people praying for Peter were praying for about 7 days, and it seemed no answer was coming. God acts at the appropriate time. Sometimes we wonder why God does not act when we need him to. He acts according to his perfect will and in his perfect time. It is not because he is unaware of our circumstances. He knows even when a hair falls out from our head. In Psalm 32, verse 10, says, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts him." That is why Peter was able to sleep peacefully in the jail. And that's why probably he was able to write in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." When we become overwhelmed, cast our cares upon Jesus. And the opposition to the gospel and opposition to the believers will continue. And in Psalm 2, we read, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." God in due time will deal with our enemy, who is his enemy. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure." Why God allowed James to be killed and Peter rescued at that time? James trusted in the Lord the same way Peter did. But we can only explain that it was in his sovereign will, and his ways are past finding out. God had a purpose for Peter to minister, to continue to minister, and to help establish the church. Peter did not have a special place as some in Christendom give him. He was considered the first pope, but certainly he was a leader. He was an outspoken disciple. Yet God had given instructions to all the 12 disciples, he called them, and he charged them with the ministry and how they have to carry out that ministry. And all 12 were called at the time. And it was not just Peter, but Peter had certain characteristics of leadership, and he had proved, according to God's will, what God wanted him to do. Now, in our studies in Peter, we have looked at Peter at different times through the Gospels and through the book of Acts. And Peter is the one who confessed, the first one who confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Christ. And he asked the question, "Is not this the Christ?" And he was the first one, or probably the only apostle who walked on water, based on his trust in the Master. And Peter is the one who made two confessions. "To whom shall we go? Thou art the Christ." And Peter was one of the three that beheld the glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he learned a few lessons from the Master. And he saw the Master washing the disciples' feet. And then he was the disciple who was sifted as wheat as he denied him three times. Peter is the one to whom Jesus asked that question, "Do you love me?" and charged him with feeding his sheep. And Peter is the one who came alive, filled with the Holy Spirit, and that he preached in the temple and urged people to repent and be baptized. And Peter is the one who took the gospel to the Gentiles first. And Peter in the temple did many miracles, and he healed the sick. And Peter, with the authority given to him by the Lord and the help of the Holy Spirit, dealing with Ananias and Sapphira, Simon the sorcerer, and Tabitha. And Peter, again, a timid Peter, with Cornelius and his household. And now here we see Peter in the jail, rescued from jail, and he is now not in the public eye as much as he used to. He is afraid, yet he had a ministry to carry on till his death, as foretold by Christ, that he would die a death in his old age, and that he would follow him to be crucified, just like how his master was crucified. I hope we have gleaned over these studies of Peter, and that we can identify ourselves with our weaknesses and identify with some of the strengths that Peter had. May God bless us in the coming days to think about Peter and how we can serve our Master with all sincerity, and continue in prayer as these believers did, praying for Peter. Now, corporate prayer is important. We have we pray individually and as families, but corporate prayer is important, and we have the prayer meetings as well as the monthly prayer evening, prayer night evening. And during the corporate prayer, several are sharing items for prayer. And that's the beauty of corporate prayer. We can pray for more people, and we are aware of more people. And it unifies us, and it gives us a common purpose, and serve Him together. And may God bless us, and let's close in prayer. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And these instances that are recorded in the scriptures were recorded by the Holy Spirit, recorded by various men, various authors, that we could apply them in our lives, and that we could be your disciples and to follow you in our Christian life. Lord, help us and lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. We commit ourselves into your hands. Bless us and keep us in your grace. And grant us your peace and your wisdom to live in this world as we have been told to be wise as serpents. And we know that we live in a world that is increasingly becoming becoming animus against the gospel. There is animosity toward believers. But we pray that you would strengthen us and keep us going in our faith and move forward in our Christian lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.